The message this morning gives glory and honor and praise to your name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. In some way, they all recognize Jesus, but not necessarily him as Lord, as the scripture says this morning, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. And so, for example, if you looked at in Buddhism, they do recognize Jesus, but not to the extent that they follow. There's people in Confucianism who follow, they'll say they believe, yes, there was a Jesus, but they don't follow him. In Islam, Jesus is recognized. Actually, he's actually mentioned by name in the Quran. In Hindu religions as well, Jesus is mentioned. They believe. One of the indications that shows that there's no commitment to Jesus in these religions, though, is sometimes you'll hear it this way, that it's Jesus plus another deity, or Jesus plus this tradition, or Jesus plus this ceremony or that ceremony. In other words, the focus is not totally upon Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And we even see in the Bible that here it says, test the spirits. It's not speaking of that we're going out there looking for evil spirits to correct. It's the people who are influenced by these demonic influences, spirit. So the Bible's telling us that whoever does not, and so when you look at even in the Bible, this is so interesting to me when I think about it, that even demons recognize who Jesus is. And we see it in the Bible. And they never question Jesus like human beings do. I'll give you one of the examples in Mark chapter 5, and you're probably familiar with that passage as I tell you about it. And it's where Jesus goes to that village called Gerasene, the country of Gerasene, and there is that demonic man who's possessed by, he calls himself Legion, by many evil spirits. But as Jesus approaches him, he recognizes who Jesus is. He says, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you have to do with me now? And he's fallen down before Jesus in his tracks because he recognizes who Jesus is. But at the same time, and this is the example I wanted to share with you, when the Bible says test the spirits, even the spirits know who Jesus is. Even demons have this cognitive knowledge of who Jesus is. They know who Jesus is. They fear him. They tremble before him. And there's many people, as I mentioned, in these other religions who they recognize Jesus, actually not with the same reverence as demons. They recognize who Jesus is, but they don't follow him completely. And so what does that mean in context? What is John saying here in this epistle when he talks about testing the spirits? If people know who Jesus is, does that mean they automatically are following Jesus? No. And so I've seen many times in ministry where I've shared the gospel with people who you would call evangelizing, sharing the gospel with people. Some never had heard the gospel before, but they had heard of Jesus. And I've been there. Maybe you've been there as well. And you're sharing the gospel and you're thinking to yourself, why are they not a Christian if they believe all these points? And this is the point, this last point that I would share with such a person that maybe they need to hear, and it would be sometimes it's the last thing we bring up, and that is to that person we would say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? See, that's where it really hits home with whether or not you truly are a disciple of Christ. If you believe in the Godhead, the Trinity of God. He forgives someone of their sins. We know that only God can forgive someone of their sins. I mean, I'm from a Catholic background, and in contrast to what the Bible says very clearly, no one can perform absolution except for God alone. There's only one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here in the Bible, actually, when Jesus was walking on earth, this was the only reason that those Pharisees, those religious leaders, wanted to kill him, because he would forgive someone of their sins, and they knew that only God can do that. How could he possibly do that? On the one occasion where he told a man, a paralytic man, to get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And they still, the Pharisees still found fault with him to say, and Jesus said, should I say get up and walk, or should I say your sins are forgiven? He could have said either one, is what he was saying. And they saw those miracles, and there are people today who say they believe in Jesus, and they believe that he was the Savior, that he died on the cross for our sins. But that's what deception is. It's a very fine line. It's so close to the truth oftentimes. That's how we're fooled as Christians. Because when you hear the statement, and in conversation, and people from a different view of who Jesus is talking about Jesus, and you're a Christian, a devout Christian, you know your Bible, and you're talking to them, and they'll end the conversation kind of on the line as, well, we're all serving the same God, aren't we? No, we're not all serving the same God. And that's where the deception comes in, is that who Christ really is. And in John 3:3, Jesus said to those he was speaking to, he said, unless a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Now, that's right from the Bible, and that's right from Jesus, who is God's Son, who is God the Son. And what he's saying is, if we were here today, I'm standing here and you're sitting there, Jesus is saying to us, all of us, nobody excluded, that unless you are alternative, and that's hell. And oftentimes when you hear, and we're testing the spirits of whether or not a person knows Christ, they take offense at the fact that if Christ is not the only way and I'm going to hell, I don't want to hear anything about it. But here the Apostle John is saying, and the amazing thing about this is there is no greater apostle in the whole entire Bible when it comes to the subject of love than the Apostle John. He was known for his message of love. You know, and I think that's sometimes where we misconceive what Jesus meant when he said to love one another, that love is not like the love we see in the world today. The love that Jesus was talking about is a sacrificial love. That when we were saved, if you truly are born again and you know Christ as your Savior, why didn't God just, you're saved and you're going to live for eternity, why doesn't God just take you home to be with him? Like he took heart to be home with him last Tuesday. And why not? Because I found Christ as my Savior, because now I have somebody who's going to answer all my prayers, give me everything I want, you know, take care of me, give me good health, give me money, give me a house, give me a car, whatever I want. And that's not what that love is about. It's about serving Christ in that capacity. And that's how you know. And John's saying this. That's how you know whether or not you're a true believing Christian. Because you're not after the dream, the dream of America, that everything's going to, and it's great that it does. And we are blessed by God in many ways. That's why I mentioned about this country is so great that we live in, to have the great things we have. But no matter what our circumstances are, God is always looking at the eternal perspective. We're only here for a short while. And when you get to, after realize who truly is a believer or not, he continues to define it by, in verses 5 and 6, it comes before, he uses the word they and we. They. Who's the they? It says, they are from the world. Well, I'll back up to verse 4. You are from God, little children. You have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. If you truly know Christ as your Savior, if it is he who we talk about, God the Son, who comes into your life when you're born again, who we had communion with this morning, then he is greater than the evil one who prevails in this world. I want to share something with you. This is real stuff. This is true. I was in the Marine Corps. I wasn't a born-again Christian yet. Wasn't a Christian. But I was at, you live in a squad bay. Some of you were in the military. You know, a squad bay, and you got bunks. Somebody's on the top bunk. You're on the bottom. I was on the top bunk. And it was later in the day. And on the bottom bunk, the man, Tommy Johns, he was from Arkansas. He bunked on the bottom bunk. He was a Satan worshiper. Now, Satan worshipers are real people. I mean, they're real. The same way you study, if you don't know this, the way you Bible, that Satan worshiping Bible sitting, and I was so curious what it said inside of it. This is a true story. And so, and it was an older book, and it was the devil's Bible, and it had spells in it and things, big, thick as this Bible here. And I got goosebumps when I opened the first page of that Bible. Now, this is the devil's Bible, and this is his word to his followers. I open up the first page, and in bigger letters than everything else in the whole book, big, bold, black letters, do not cast any of these spells on a Christian. Because if you cast a spell, any of these spells on a Christian, they will come back on you. The curse will come back on you. And then on top of that, now you know devil worshipers, they're not atheists. They know who God is because they have to watch out for God because God is, it's right there. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And so underneath that statement, in the devil's Bible, he has scripture. He has God's word in there. Yeah. Anyone who curses me will be cursed. And in big bold letters, if you cast a spell, if you from God's word, if you curse a Christian, a follower of God, you will be cursed. Anyone who curses me will be cursed. Anyone who blesses me will be blessed. And that's in the devil's Bible. And you see there, so the truth of the fact, the matter is that in this world, that the father of this world is leading people astray. And so when John says here in verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak as does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Some of you guys here were overseas in a foreign land. And if you met Christians over there, Christians, born again Christian, 8,000 miles from here, and you heard them talking, you would recognize the voice of God in the way, whether they're, maybe if they had an accent or speaking, you know, from a different culture, maybe they ate different, they acted different, they worshiped different. But if they were a Christian and they said something from a Christian perspective, you would recognize their voice and say, that man's a Christian. Because in your spirit, the spirit of God in you bears witness with the spirit of Christ, and it confirms that God is speaking. And so when we see here that the world can't hear the voice of God. I was speaking with Ron the week before that message I had about God is the shepherd of our souls. That was 2 weeks ago. And the Sunday before that, I was talking to Ron. We were talking about how animals know the voice of their master. And I used God, how people hear the voice of God the same way. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. Ron mentioned that. Aubrey, that next Tuesday, 2 days later, he had talked about in the session meeting about Christ being the shepherd, and he expressed that. He used a demonstration expressing how when he was out there in the Middle East and he would see those two shepherds pass by each other with their flock, none of the sheep would get messed up or mixed up because they knew the voice of the shepherd. And I am leading up to the closing of this message, but please follow along with me. Because I had, that was Tuesday, and I'm still working on my message, and Aubrey didn't know that was part of my message that next Sunday was going to be. Then I told you, if you remember, my son had texted me a quote there somewhere, something to the effect of how the shepherd, you know, when an injured lamb is injured and the shepherd takes that lamb close to him and puts him in a harness and keeps him, brings him back, that lamb will never leave his side. And Jesus is that shepherd who holds us close to him when we're suffering and going through pain in our lives. And then I told you about the movie that Sunday. I watched the movie The Sheep Herder with Glenn Ford, and I asked somebody if you ever saw that movie. And so there was all this confirmation, and then the Sunday that Art was here and heard that message, and this has a lot to do with Art, because Art asked a lot of questions, and Art Fabian, we're talking to Art about dying and going to heaven. Is that, did I get that right, Keith?
Yeah, so, me and Caesar.
Or Caesar, I'm sorry. And so I'm hearing all these different confirmations, and I'm seeing where God is, and this has to do with verse 5 here about hearing the voice of God. The followers of Christ hear his voice. And so I was seeing these confirmations of God working in their lives. Jeff Armstrong had examples of where he was a strong influence in Art's life, and Art came into this church, and things where he was on their way out to the cars and all, and the funeral director, they tend to be kind of bossy, you know, they try to keep things moving along, and I kind of sense that. It's kind of like, we got to get going, you know, get out to your cars and everything. And as a pastor, you could say, as a shepherd, I followed back. I went outside, but I followed back to see if there's any, we'd say in the military, stragglers, you know, a person behind, you know, make sure everybody got out. There might be somebody up there too. And there was Art Fabian's wife, Jane, was in there. This is right after the funeral service. And in the funeral service, I looked at that family and was saying, I mentioned the phrase pattern. There was a pattern in the life, in Art's life, that God, as a shepherd, was leading him. And so when I walked up to Jane, she had a glow about her. She had this demeanor. She was encouraged. She was enlightened. She wasn't sad or sorrowful. It was a smile. And she looked enlightened, you know, as I looked over at her. And it was just her and her daughter in there, Jacqueline. And she looks at me and she kind of smiles. And she says, I got to tell you something. She says, that Sunday that you spoke that message about the shepherd, you really spoke to Art's heart. I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, he came home that Sunday and he said, we have to watch a movie. And did you hear about that, Jeff? And she said, he said, we got to watch this movie, The Sheep Herder with Glenn Ford. And I asked Jane, so did you watch it? She said, yeah. And he explained to me what the message was about. And she said, you know, it also moved me to make the card, you know, these cards you get at the funeral. She said, that message moved my heart to have a card with a shepherd on the cover of it. Now, I don't know if you're following this spiritually. I'm doing the best to explain it. I'm not the best explainer. But when you see from the beginning that trail I just brought you on, and through the all the terminology about the shepherd and all, and about Ron and about Aubrey and about Jeff and about Keith and everybody, Caesar talking about all these dots being connected, it all added up to that moment for me. The consummation of the whole message was that the great shepherd was leading Art all the way to go home to be with him. After he heard that message, 2 days later, he went to be, the shepherd came and met him and led him to heaven. And I wanted to share that today, especially because very rarely do you see things happen like this in a church. It happens all the time, but it's rare. And that's why I want you to see it and give glory to God, because what it showed me is that God was not only, and that's why I mentioned Ron and Aubrey and others, because what I'm trying to convey to you is that God, weeks before, you can actually say from eternity before, had plans for Art, but he was orchestrating, the message was flowing. I could even be better. If I wrote it, it'd be easier to follow because I could take my time and articulate it maybe more clear to you. But God was flowing through that whole pattern to bring Art to that point where he took him home. And this church, many of you were a part of that. Those messages that you had when you took that time to talk to Art, that was God. That was not coincidence. God was speaking through you, Keith, to him that day. He was speaking through you. And you can see how, what you can see through that is in that message, when we hear the voice of God, if you're following your heart, if you're listening to God, and you don't have to be perfect. I said it last Sunday. God's not looking for perfection. He already knows I'm not perfect. You don't have to tell me. God knows I'm not perfect. He's looking for authenticity. And Keith, if I can use that as an example, when you shared your heart with Art, you were sharing your heart. You didn't realize it until afterwards, but the truth of God was pouring out from your heart to him. You see, we can't make that happen. We can't say, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to say this and say that. Even as a preacher sometimes, I got to say down there and put my notes aside and just say, Lord, give me the words to say. I'm doing that today. You know, that I can't rely on myself, but it's God who's working through. And so today you could say as a church, you participated as a church with God and your pastor seeing a person to heaven and seeing how God leads that way. And so you have, you all, some of you in a unique way actually said today, Jane Art's family may have been here today. They said, you know, you really have a special church there up there. After she met these guys and ministering to the family and everything, she says, they want to meet the church. Having just seeing what they saw, the testimony, the witness of what was happening. And it was that great. It's the work of God. And so I would give you that in that the message today with that joy, that the confirmation. I love confirmation. When you see it, give glory to God. It's not coincidence. It's God working through these events that we're seeing right here in your church, right here in this community. When you do see it, make sure you give glory to God when you see it, and God will send more and give more opportunities because he sees your faithfulness. You were faithful. I wish you could see. I should have had a camera to take a picture. Caesar and Keith and Jeff were out there. They looked like evangelists. They looked like they were ministering to everybody out there, and all sharp and with their Bibles in their mind and sharing the gospel and being a witness to everybody around. So, well, I'm gonna close with that. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for your gracious love for us, and thank you for the way that you ministered to Art's heart through this church. And we recognize, Lord, I hope everybody sees it. Those who do, I hope it's everybody. But I know some here have already conveyed that thought. They've confirmed that thought that they give glory to you. I give glory to you, Lord, for this church and for the ministry you're doing here, and that you'll send more people this way. And that, Lord, you care about people more than them becoming members or becoming part of the church we would like to see. But the main thing, Lord, is that you're leading people home to be with you, that they would know you and that you'd become their Lord and Savior as they part from this life to the next. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.